book of Zechariah, chapter 14. Zechariah, chapter 14. Verse 1, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee as like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day, the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And all the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gates unto the gate unto the place of the first gate unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, and of the mule, and of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the Lord, the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day there shall be holiness, there shall be on the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Now that passage of scripture is very important because it tells us something about what's going to happen when the Lord returns. The Lord is going to open a place of safety for the people of Israel that are left there. If you read the book of Zechariah, you find out some things about the millennial kingdom, and you find out how God's going to deal with Israel. There's a lot of different things in the book of Zechariah. It's actually one of my favorite books of the Old Testament. A lot of people have difficulty with the book of Zechariah. If you are somebody who doesn't believe in a millennial kingdom, you're going to have difficulty with the book of Zechariah. You're going to have to try to make it into heaven and everything like that. But you can see. Now, let me ask you a question. And this is kind of a learning thing today, because I kind of chose this chapter because it is about learning. Okay? It's about learning, and I want people to learn and see some things. Now, all right, how do I know that this is not the eternal kingdom that is talking about here? How do I know that when this time it comes, when the Lord's king over all the earth, how do I know that it's not the eternal kingdom? How do I know that? Hopefully you read along with me. Just didn't let me read. Didn't watch. Just listen to me read. Hopefully you followed along. How do I know it's not the eternal kingdom that's being talked about here? There's a whole lot of things. All right. We start. And he says, "The day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall not be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." So that's talking about when the Lord comes. It's talking about what we would call the Battle of Armageddon, when all those nations are gathered against Jerusalem. And the Lord's going to come, and they're going to want to fight against the Lord. All right? And he says, "His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." All right? So there, obviously there's war going on. There's no war in heaven, right? So it's not talking about the eternal kingdom. This is clearly talking about his coming. But the problem is people want to say he comes and conquers the world, and now we go into the eternal state, the eternal kingdom. And there's no way it can possibly be that way if you read the Bible, if you just take it for what it says. So notice what it says. He says, "His feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley. Half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." So when he comes and stands on the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives in that mountain range right there is going to split, and there's going to be a valley running east to west there when his feet land on the Mount of Olives. And it says, "And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." Alright? So he's talking about the Lord coming with all the saints. The armies of heaven, as it says in Revelation 19. But when he stands there, he's going to stand there, and the people that are left in Jerusalem that are there, they're going to flee to that valley. It's going to open up, and that's going to be a place for them. And it says, "Shall come to pass in that day, the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known unto the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be." Now, he's talking about summer and winter, right? And he's talking about a former sea and a hinder sea. There's no sea in heaven. There's no sea in the new heavens and new earth, is there? So that's clearly not talking about the new heavens and the new earth. That is the millennial kingdom. That is when Christ reigns for 1,000 years upon this earth. And then he says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. It shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. All right? So notice there it's talking about earthly Jerusalem. It's not talking about the gates of Jerusalem and the gates to the holy city in the new heavens and new earth. They don't have these names. If you go into the book of Revelation, alright, if you go into the book of Revelation that it talks about, it talks about these gates that come down, the holy city in Revelation chapter 21. And he has 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So all the gates in the New Jerusalem have the names of one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and in the apostles and the apostles names are in the foundations. So there we have that picture there. So this you won't have a corner gate and a first gate and all that type of stuff. Benjamin's gate was a particular gate that they had, but they had a sheep gate, they had a water gate, they had different types of gates. They had the eastern gate, and that's going to be the gate that Christ enters through. All right. So when he comes, so he talks about all of this. And then he says in verse 12, he says, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse and the mule and the camel and the ass and all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. So what's going to happen to both man and beast is their flesh is literally going to be consumed away on their bones. That's what's going to happen. And no, that's not an atomic weapon. I remember reading many years ago Hal Lindsey put out the late great planet Earth, and he speculated that was describing the effects of a nuclear blast. Nope, not going to happen. That's going to be the Lord's going to destroy them with the breath of his mouth. That's what's going to happen. So, and all of those that fight against him. And then it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So they are going to be required, after whatever's left over of those nations that attacked Israel and Jerusalem and that fought against the Lord, they are the nations of the earth. Of all those nations that are left, they will have to come up once a year to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And he says, and it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Now, a lot of problems there. Can't be talking about heaven. Because he's talking about a law that says they have to come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They have to leave where they are, come up to Jerusalem, live there for that time period and worship the Lord. And he also talks about he said, if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and this shall be the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. So if he talks about that, he talks about them not coming up. And if they don't come up, they won't have any rain. If they still refuse in the drought, then there's going to be a plague upon them. Now, why is it that this cannot possibly be talking about heaven? There's
no sickness or anything in heaven.
And why is there no sickness or anything in heaven? Because there's no sin. This is talking about people sinning against the Lord, aren't they?
Right.
So this can't be talking about heaven, can it? Just good common sense. Just read the Bible to let it speak for itself. And he said, in that day there should be upon the bells of the horses holiness to the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house should be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Now there are two things that are very clear in there that show that is talking those last couple, that last two verses. Two things that very clearly show that this is not talking about heaven, it's talking about the millennial kingdom. What are they? Who can tell me what they are? Huh?
Well, the sea.
No, just those last two verses.
Oh.
Just look at the last two verses.
Sacrifice.
Killing.
Huh? Killing,
sacrifice.
Yeah.
Sacrifice. There's no sacrifice in heaven.
No.
All right. What's the other one?
No Canaanite.
There should be no Canaanite in the house of the Lord. Now I understand we all have a new name and everything's left behind, but what are the redeemed in heaven when we talk about sacrifice and we talk about the shedding of blood and we talk about the people that are in heaven? What does Revelation chapter 5 say? You hear me quote it all the time. I love it. I love to juxtaposition and compare Matthew chapter 7 to what Christ says there to what the saints in heaven say in Revelation chapter 5. What do they say? Thou art worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Why? For thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood. There's your sacrifice. The only sacrifice that means anything in heaven. Right? And has redeemed us unto God from every, what? Kindred and tongue and people and nation. And that would include the Canaanites. As a matter of fact, if you go back and read, God has given some promises to the Canaanites. But during the millennial kingdom, they won't be allowed in the house of the Lord. He's given them promises, but they won't be allowed in the house of the Lord. They'll have to be without the temple. In heaven, everybody gets in. Right? But in the millennial kingdom, they don't. Now, does this make sense to you? Just read one chapter out of the book of... And you say, why are you doing this? I'm doing this because I want you, as we study the Old Testament, and many times that I've used this, I want you to be able to see the difference. I want you to be able to make the connection from Old Testament to New Testament, where it fits and where it doesn't. the majority of what God says about Christ's kingdom is actually, in the Old Testament, actually refers to the millennial kingdom, and specifically to the millennial kingdom. Why? Because the Old Testament was written to who? Israel. Right? And God is talking to them about judgment and redemption. And the redemption of Israel and the fulfillment of the promises, those things have to be fulfilled. And so throughout all that time. And so, by the way, if there are people that with the Lord, after He's come back and conquered the entire world, and now has a perfectly just society, and there are people that won't come up, can you see how at the end of the 1,000 years when Satan is loosed, how he'll be able to bring up a rebellion? And Satan will be used to weed out those final sinners and come up, and then they will be done away with. Satan will be cast in a lake of fire where the beast and false prophet are, and then we'll go into the eternal state, the new heavens and the new earth. So we'll look for that. So therein is the clear picture. It's to me, it's crystal clear. I don't see how anybody could be an amillennialist or a postmillennialist or any of that foolishness. I don't see how anybody could think that somehow the church is going to Christ is going to reign through the church during the millennial kingdom, and I don't see how anybody could think it's just a allegory. It really isn't in the millennial kingdom. I have no idea how people can do that. But that's how good the devil is at getting people messed up about the Word of God. And that is why we have to let the Word of God speak for itself and not sit there and try to figure it out. I mean, you'd be surprised some of the crazy things I've read in commentaries that people have put out. And I'm sitting there and it's like, where in the world do you get this? How do you get there from here? And there's no way. And sometimes people... A lot of times people just get taught something and they get taught a presupposition. And so every time they read it, they don't read what's being said. They insert their presupposition. All right? And I hope you can see the difference. I'm not putting any presupposition. I'm trying to tell you this is what he says. This is what it says here. This is what it says there. And we're just taking the Bible for what it says. We're taking the Bible what it says about heaven. What's not going to be there? There are no rebels in heaven. No one is excluded. The nations of them that are saved shall walk therein. And there's going to be people here who are rebels. And they're going to be punished. You go in the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel, it talks about the sinner being 100 years old shall be cursed. Alright, that's not talking about heaven. There are no sinners in heaven. You know, so you look at the Word of God and you read the Word of God, and the funny thing is, people sit there and say, well, you can't build a doctrine over a few verses in the book of Revelation. We don't build a doctrine of the millennium over a few verses in the book of Revelation. We build a doctrine of the millennium over literally hundreds of verses throughout the Bible. Any questions on that? All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll close out tonight. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and I just pray you'd help me and help each person to rightly divide the word of truth. Pray that tonight's been something that they could look at and understand and help them to continue to grow and learn. And Lord, just behold wondrous things out of your word. And Lord, we just pray for each one that's here tonight. Pray for those who are not here. Ask your blessing upon them. Lord, pray that they would draw near to you and that they would open the Word of God and learn and grow. Help them, I pray. And Lord, we just thank you for all you've given. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.